Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now with thankful hearts for allowing us to be able to come together and to look into another portion of your word and your son's words. We pray that we're able to apply them in our life however we may need to, and that we're always looking to the spirit of the law and everything. We pray that as we go through the rest of our time together tonight, that we're able to be here, and we pray that you be with the speaker tonight and what he's prepared, and please allow us to listen with open hearts and to always look back to your word for what is truth and for our guidance. And we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Late 1800s, probably one of the greatest inventions to at least our modern times, was born. That's the internal combustion engine. A lot of us like it a lot more than others. There's lots of things we can do with that thing. But just think about what that invention has done for the world. Think of all the construction equipment in my line of work. You know, think of the farming equipment. Think how that really kind of exploded the Industrial Revolution. Think about Henry Ford in the modern assembly line. What was that for? That was for making the car, which used the internal combustion engine to move people and to give us the freedom that we have today to get from one place to another. You know, think about not only in cars, but in jets. You know, just all the modes of transportation that we have. So what does that have to do with Christian? Well, I want to think of it in this way. The thing that moves us in our life is our faith. And our faith, I would say, is our engine. You know, that's what keeps us going. That's what gets us going and continues us in our journey and our travel that we're as we go through this life. So, as we think about an engine, let's break it down. What really gives it its power? What helps it propel? What makes that crankshaft turn that puts that power to the wheels? Boil it down, it's really two things. You've got a proper mixture of fuel and oxygen and a spark. So what are those two things? Turn, if you would, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, fuel. Is that those evidences not seen? You know, the things that we don't see, but we know they're there. You know, Paul talks about, you know, even without knowing God, you know, the world would have seen the invisible attributes that God has. But as Christians, we know what those are, and that's the fuel for our faith, those evidences, those things that we can count on, that we know that these are true, and these are the things that that will drive us to where we're going. But what's the spark? It's a substance of things hoped for. It's that hope that we have. Now, how is hope defined? If you look on dictionary.com, the noun version of it is a feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events will turn out for the best. And the verb is to look forward to with a desire and reasonable confidence. So our hope is that thing that sparks that fuel, that starts that engine to keep it going. Augustine of Hippo had an interesting quote when he talks about hope. He says, "Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain as they are." So if we think about hope and think about it being a spark, just think about it from that standpoint of an anger, seeing the sin around us, seeing the sin thrown at us, the temptations. We talked about that in our class tonight. Those temptations that, or as Paul talks about them, those fiery darts that are continued to be thrown at us. Over time, it's going to get a little annoying because we're trying to get to heaven. But there's obstacles that's continually put in our path, whether we put them in our path or they're put there by the devil. And over time, that's just going to build and build and build. And then we finally have the courage to say no. As we talked about with adultery, don't even look at it. Don't even put yourself in that temptation. So when all that comes, there's our spark. And that helps us to start ignite that fuel that gives us that power to keep on going. I'm sorry, I think I missed something. Yep, I did. Paul tells us, or I'm sorry, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3. I thought there was something wrong. It didn't seem right, is what I said in my head. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 13. "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good?" Oh, there it is. It's in 15. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. "And do not be afraid of their threats nor troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give defense for everyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." So Peter tells us in verse 15 there to be ready to give a defense to whoever asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. What's that spark? Why do you have that faith? What's that spark that keeps you going? That's that hope. That hope that we have. That expectation, as Rex talked about, that full expectation the assurance that we have that God has provided for us that salvation. It's no wonder when Paul's talking to the Thessalonians that he says, use the hope of salvation as a helmet, because that helmet's going to protect your brain, and that's where reason starts. That's where that rational side is. It's not the emotions, that's in the heart. That reason is going to be in the brain, that's going to help you decide, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to let that anger really rile up and do something, you know, make me do something that's going to cause me to lose out on that salvation. Turn, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So here he's telling the Colossians, if you continue in these things and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, again, it's that spark, it's what starts that faith. It's what gets that going. He tells the Ephesians there's only one hope. As he talks in Ephesians 4, he tells them there's only one baptism, there's one Lord in Christ, and there's one hope in all of that. To hope on anything else is futile, but to hope on God, hope on that salvation, that's what we got to have, that's what we got to focus on, that's what's got to start that for us. David writes a whole psalm about hope. Turn to Psalm 16. It's even titled, The Hope of the Faithful and the Messiah's Victory. Starting in verse 1, Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in the shallow, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You may recognize some of this as well. This is where Peter talks about how Jesus was prophesied about, how David prophesied about him here, that his Holy One would not see corruption. And we see that through the resurrection. But he says in here that that's where our hope rests. Jeremiah also talks about hope. Turn, if you would, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So that spark does just so much for our faith. That hope starts our faith. And that's what keeps us going. But just like any mechanical engine, anything mechanical, you got to maintain it. There's maintenance that's got to be done for it. Over time, you know, it may lose as much, you know, the amount of spark that it had, and you have to go in and readjust it. You have to clean it, or you may have to replace it again with like spark. Again, going back to what Rex said Sunday, that's something that should re-spark our faith, knowing that we have that full assurance, knowing that that God has said, you know, I've given you these things if you remain faithful to me. So when we talk about hope, you know, we don't need to say it in the sense that, you know, I just really hope I get to hell, I hope I get to heaven. Really, we should talk about is my hope is that I will see heaven. You see a difference there? Not that I hope, I have this, you know, wanting to, you know, I want to get there. That's not it. It's my hope is definite that I will see heaven. And the only way we can do that, again, as Paul told the Ephesians, is through the one hope that we should have, the hope in the gospel, the hope in Jesus. So tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, if you haven't, if your spark hasn't really ignited, but you know that there's something you need to do, if you need to be baptized, we invite you to come forward. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation to help lift that spark, to clean it off, to make it as powerful as it can, tonight's the night to do that. So if you're subject to that invitation, we invite you to come and stand and we'll sing.
Bow with me, please. Our dear, most wonderful, loving, righteous Heavenly Father, we come before you now at the close of this service that we've offered unto you and to the praise of your name. We ask that what we've done tonight has been pleasing unto you with the study that we've done in your scriptures and to learn more how to be more Christ-like and to have a better relationship with you. be more pure in our day-to-day life and with our relationships with one another. Lord, we pray for the strength in our day-to-day lives that we might be able to run from sin. We ask for your help in giving us that strength and courage and delivering us from the evil of the world so that we might be able to shine as bright as possible the light of Jesus Christ in order to bring more to see that light and to be able to enjoy being in it, fleeing from the darkness of the world. Lord, we're thankful for the brethren here, for the relationship that we can have, for the strength that we can give one another. We ask that you help us to foster that relationship with one another, that we might fully be able to enjoy the connection that we have through your Son, Jesus. We're very thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, for we know that we would have no salvation without him. Help us to always keep that in the forefront of our minds and to remember and be thankful for the grace that is given by your Son and by you. Lord, please be with us as we leave the comforts of one another, that we might be able to remain strong in the faith, that we might bring the faith, bring our faith to be shared with others so that more might be brought to salvation. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.